Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's the response of the ages. It is a call of surrender and self-pity. What are we supposed to do with so little? It's the response of wearied parents in a society rife with callousness and sin. And here we sit with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. The businessman who has 2,000 to-dos every single day and employees that won't mind, don't do what they're told. Woe is me. What am I supposed to do with so little? The ecologist who watches the air and the water slowly die a lingering death and no one seems to care or pay much attention. I only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's the mindset of a spouse desperately trying to make peace in a troubled household. What do you want from me? I'm only one person. I only have 5 loaves and these 2 scrawny little fish. It's a response of scores of young adults getting out on their own and realizing that mom's house really wasn't all that bad. That life after college is significantly harder than life in college. Life, real life, our life, is often much harder than we give ourselves credit for. There are sorrows abound, and resources are always scant. I only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is the response of the disciples. Given the task of feeding this massive crowd, 5,000 men, not including the women and the children, they followed Jesus into the wilderness outside of Bethsaida. They've come to hear Christ's words. They've come to feel his healing touch, to be healed by them. Some of them may have just followed the crowd because they heard something was going on. And they're like, well, I'll head out there for the day. I had nothing else going on. I have to remind you that these are unwanted guests. These were uninvited. We start off with verse 13. Jesus has heard about the martyrdom of John the Baptist, most likely also heard of those things going on and what led to him having his head cut off and presented as a present at a drunken party for Herod. This saddens him, probably angers him quite a bit. Whatever Jesus is feeling, he decides to handle it this way, that he will go out into the wilderness to be alone and pray, as was often the case. And thousands follow him on foot from the towns and the villages around them because they want from him. They want prayer, they want healing, they want teaching, they want guidance, whatever it is that they wanted. Jesus has compassion upon them and fulfills their needs. But they stayed too long. The hour has grown late and they are hungry. I'll remind you that hunger is not really a big thing in the ancient world. It was kind of part of life. But there was no way that they were going to be able to feed such a large crowd. We would have a hard time feeding such a large crowd. Could you imagine the size of that lasagna? Have to make it a pickup truck. There's no way to buy enough food for all these people. The markets are closed. Even if there was a market, there's not a market. There's nothing. It's the wilderness outside of Bethsaida. I hear they built a Buc-ee's there now. But at that time, there's no burger joint. There's no Sam's. Jesus says to the 12, you feed them. That's the rub, right? That's the law. That's God telling us to do what we can't do. Jesus is always doing that to us. Always asking us for more than we have. Just be holy like God your Father is holy. He asks us to do things we don't want to do. He stretches us in ways we don't want to be stretched, bends us in ways that we don't want to be bent. As spouses, we're called to live lives of holiness and righteousness and peace and forgiveness and love. Women, respect your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Seems easy enough, doesn't it? Till Thursday afternoon. Parents, raise your children in the fear and the ways of the Lord. And then you have to suffer their condemnation when we expect absolute perfection out of them and accept mediocrity out of ourselves. Workers, Luther admonishes, obey your earthly employers with respect and fear and the sincerity of your heart, just as you would obey Christ. Man, now I got to treat my boss like I would treat Jesus? Come on, Martin, let's be real. And he goes on to make it even worse. Win them over, obey them, not only to win their favor, but doing the will of God from your heart, serve wholeheartedly. Youth, be submissive to those who are older than you. Right? Your scoutmaster and your coaches and your teachers and the principals and law enforcement and your parents and your aunts and your uncles and your older cousins and college students and that idiot lifeguard at the pool that seems to not want you to have any fun at all. Your older siblings. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Right, kids? I think that's sometimes why we want to grow up. We're trying to at least shorten that list of the people that we have to honor and respect. But it never really shortens up. God just brings new people into our lives. God calls us to love when loving is difficult. God calls us to forgive when we'd rather not. God calls us to witness when we assume we'll be laughed at. To stand upon our principles, even if it means standing alone. And our powers and our resources are not unlimited. Dude, what do you really want from me? I'm one guy with a myriad of responsibilities. I got 5 loaves and 2 scrawny fish. Fortunately for the 12, the story doesn't end there. Jesus asks the impossible of his disciples. You give them something to eat. But he doesn't leave them to do it on their own. Not out of their own power. Jesus says, bring them to me. He blesses the loaves and the fish. He breaks them. He says, a blessing. He hands them to the disciples and say, you take these gifts to the people. And everyone was satisfied. There are 12 baskets full of leftover pieces left. And therein lies the good news for you and me and moms and dads and employers and employees. You who find yourself wondering, do I really have what it takes to survive in this society? Do I really have what it takes to raise these children? No. You don't. Not on your own. You really don't have what it takes. Sometimes we're gonna face overwhelming odds. Many of you wives woke up today. How many of you, don't really raise your hand, but how many of you woke up this morning and went, woohoo, it's Sunday. I'm going to take all of the kids to church. It's going to be great. And I'm going to live in complete submission to my husband, who is wonderful all day long. He even knows what he wants for dinner. Men, how many of you have a plan to love your wife today? Like a plan. Like, I'll remind you, Love is not an emotion. Love is an action. Love is an action verb. I hope you've got more than just a peck on the cheek. At the very least, decide what you want for dinner. But you have a plan. Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? How am I going to nourish my wife today? How am I going to cherish my wife today? How am I going to love my wife today? Like Christ loved and cherished and nourished the church. I'll remind you that he died for her. So guess what? Please don't die. But sacrifice. Can you sacrifice everything? No. You don't have the resources. But through Christ, he will make you adequate to the task. Our Lord calls us to bring ourselves and our family and our spouses and our relationships and our vocations and everything that we have. Bring those things to Christ. Bring me your skills and your weaknesses. Bring me your strengths and your fears. Bring me your children and their futures. You bring them to me, and I will make you adequate to the task. And that's the good news for troubled marriages facing tough decisions. Bring your marriage and your commitment to each other. Bring them to me, and I will bless them. Bring them in repentance, bring them in forgiveness, bring them in communication, bring them in prayer. For students who feel like they're swimming upstream, for young adults who feel like they are never going to get ahead, for people of conscience who feels like taking a risk on some of these dicey public issues, Christ says unto you, bring them unto me. Bring me your hopes, your dreams, your convictions, and bring them, bring your burdens, bring your challenges, bring your responsibilities. For he who took that paltry little bag lunch from the disciples and fed a multitude at Bethsaida can do it as well for you and your family and your career and your vocation and your friends and your school with meager resources. When life gets the best of us, and life will, it's human nature to focus upon what little we have and forget about the massive grace that God provides for us and the forgiveness of sins when we fail, and we will fail, sometimes spectacularly. When we face obstacles, and there are plenty out there to face, it's easy to throw up our hands like the disciples and go, what in the world am I supposed to do with five loaves and two fish? What we all have, though, is that freedom to call upon someone who knows what to do. When life seems so very big and we feel so very small, we know someone who is close to us can do those things that we cannot do on our own. Someone who can heal hurts, right wrongs, love the unloved, scale mountains to boot. Someone who can take my paltry handful of resources and make them adequate to the task. And turn them into feasts. However little I may possess in terms of talent or resources, Jesus whispers, bring them unto me, and with him my little becomes a lot. Bring them to me. These words comprise the antidote to when we feel small, too small for the task ahead of us, when we feel ill-equipped, when we feel overwhelmed to the task that lies at hand. Bring them unto me, and I will bless them, and I will bless you. And so I ask you, use every means at your disposal to draw closer to the Lord God of light and life. Take up the Word of God. Read, learn, mark, inwardly digest that every morning. Remember, every morning when you get up out of bed, as Luther tells us, you have been resurrected from the dead. You've been brought out of your sleep for a day such as this. Say your prayers. Say the Apostles' Creed. Sing a hymn. Go joyfully to work. Bow your head in prayer, even in the midst of the noisiness of the day. Seek that quiet place and the center of reality. Eat the bread, drink the cup, proclaim his death, receive his forgiveness. Speak about his return in judgment and power. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Again and again, communicate. Continually seek the fellowship of other Christians, because we are indeed different parts of one body, but that one body has its head in Christ. And sometimes the feet can't do what a hand can do, but the hand is more than glad to help. Designed to dance together in the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.